Happy Friday. Happy payday if you get paid on the 25th. Now, let's get to a serious conversation. The thing is, this country, we're just never serious about anything. Especially from 9:30 to 11 on Eagle FM. We are not serious about anything. We're just here to cook, well, everything. Any topic that comes to mind, we just throw it in a pot, in the Mind the Gap pot, you know, proudly sponsored and electrified by yours truly, Eagle FM, with the main ingredient of that firewood, with the main ingredient, of both the firewood and the content of the pot being yours truly, John Walenga. Now that we have that out of the way, moving on. Today's discussion is around something very important. I know everyone wants us to talk about the State of the Nation address, but we'll talk about that some other day. Kidding! We're here to talk about, a State of the Nation address. I think I found our president's, motto. Do we call it motto or moniker at this point? You know, Constantine the Great, Alexander the Great and all that the Great and, but not on Mind the Gap, not in Namibia and definitely not in, on Mind the Gap, because here we call, I know that all our presidents have had a catchphrase. A catchphrase that if you say it to any Namibian, they will know which Namibian president you are talking about. And you Rezibian, that's the founding father. And you Haelulu, that's Pohamba. The buying and selling, that's the late Hage. Now, this one, Menetumba was wondering, what's she gonna say that's going to be her catchphrase, this madam? And she was just, actually, I wasn't just paying attention. It turns out, my English is not English. Yeah, what the heck. Now, it turns out she's been using this catchphrase for a while now. It's called, we are too few to be poor. Now, Her Excellency, Madam, we are too few to be poor, yesterday, graced us with her State of the Nation address, which, obviously generated a lot of topics of discussion for those that are interested in something as important as what's going on in the Namibian, economic and political sphere. Now, you have Namibians that are living by, crossing their fingers and hope, crossing their fingers and hope we have the best president and hope we have, employment, crossing fingers and hope. But then you have a lot of Namibians that have crossed their fingers long enough and they're actually tired. They have uncrossed them. Now they're just down to paying attention to what's taking place in the political and the economic sphere and then asking questions based on what they are hearing. Now, yesterday, we were listening to Her Excellency, Honorable Igwe, incumbent president, we are too few to be poor, giving us, her 36-page speech of, minus 2 pages of all protocol observed. Now, I know. Moving on. See, Madam Too Few to be Poor said a lot of things, of which you can see that everyone is basically picking up a part of what interests them. Take for example, pensioners are looking at the part where she said we are focusing, at least for this year, we're focusing on the youth and going, I don't agree with this. And everyone that's in high school and looking forward to going to tertiary is going, bravo, Madam President, bravo. Like, that's their focus. And those that are in the creative industry are just scrolling and going straight to page, page 8. Too few to bow to be poor, manifesto, agriculture, that's on page 23. Now, creative is somewhere from either page 28 or page 30. Un momento, let me just make sure I get to the, I get to the right page of the, creative, because since I'm in the creative industry, that is where I am going. Yeah, it's page 31. Very funny. Thanks. Yeah, you know, if you're on the floor laughing, not being kicked the heck out of, if you're on the floor laughing, then I'm doing my job right. Hear that, boss? I'm getting comments on my social media, on my Facebook live stream that I am very funny. So you got the right man for the job. Thank you, and also you're welcome. Now, because I'm in the creative sector, and that's the sector that was also covered in that speech, I decided, why would I talk about a bunch of students? Okay, well, I have a few things to cook, to cook on that, on that area too. Now, before we get to the creative part, let me just show my creativity, at least by looking at asking myself one question. Now, the whole free tertiary education is a monumental undertaking, a ginormous one, which again has, is bound to raise questions. And the reasons why we have, the reasons why we have radio stations and social media is so we can communicate and ask questions. Again, we are not criticizing, we're just asking questions. To know that, okay, you know what? Because if I was you, now I would be going, whoa, madam, go easy there. At least leave registration. And then she went on to say, not even a registration. Everyone at UNAM was going like, hey. The thing is, it's not rocket science. All you just have to do is find out how much is registration of any public institution, be it, be it one that is academic oriented or the ones that is more technical, technical oriented, like technicals, for example. Find out how much registration those students pay and then multiply it by the approximate number of students that institutions has. And then you see how much money they make just out of registration alone. And you are waking up and you are just telling them that, don't do that anymore. Every parent at this point is, even if they have a hip problem, they are, dancing. Actually, they were dancing. Now, if they are as broke as I am, they are still dancing to this day. Chances are very high they'll be, that dancing will, they'll find itself in the weekend and just, just straight up to next week. Now, for those that are in high institution, we have interns here. That we, while listening to the whole speech of the president's, state of the nation address, especially the part where she was talking about free high institutions, especially, public institutions. So when everyone went, oh, what about us? So like, well, for those of you guys, how about, you cross your fingers and hope, that one day you are also included in these statistics. Well, the question now everyone is asking at this point is, hang on a second. Now, one thing parents don't know is that students are not very happy about this. Oh, why are you saying that? NASFAF, madam. NASFAF. Do you know what that means? That means, actually, let me put this in the form of a question. What does that mean? For NASFAF, that monthly refund that I get. Does that mean I'm not going to get it anymore? Believe me when I tell you, a lot of students are not happy with this one. The whole free education part. Because, chances are very high. That means all the money that are supposed to be given to, to be paid to individual high institutions. And then, on behalf of every student, and then the change is kicked back in the pocket of the student. Well, if I was one of the MPs in parliament, that is the most important question that all the MPs missed. What does that mean for NASFAF students? But most importantly, NASFAF refunds. You're going to have to explain that part. Because believe me, parents, you guys are happy. I am telling you, your kids are so not. So, take for example, if come next year, your child is telling you, mom, I don't think UNAM is the right school for me. I want to go to a private school, you know, to a private high institution, you know, even if it's Lingua, private college, IUM, these schools are not given the credit they deserve. These schools offer the best education. No, he just wants a refund. Now, MPs, congratulations. You guys asked very important questions. Even though you guys can ask long questions, I'm telling you, we are sitting here listening for 5 minutes. Homeboy is still asking his question. In other words, most of them, his direction, his destination is Okahanja. But bro hops in a car and drives towards Rehoboth. And then tries to figure out a four-wheel road to Valves. And then Swakop. And he, well, turns around, goes to Marinda. And all the way to Cape Town. And then hop on a plane. And then lands in Windhoek. And then takes a bicycle to go to Okahanja. That's basically how most of the questions were asked yesterday. These guys, I was like, man, these guys can beat around the bush. Someone, you know, as an African proverb say, I'm like, my God, ask the question. For the love of God, please. I am begging you. But anyway, one question every student is having is, what does this whole free tertiary education mean to our dearly beloved NASFAF refunds? Does that mean it's the end of it? Because if it's the end of it, then parents may be very happy about the free tertiary education. Believe me, students are so not. And then something now was pointed out that, parents will have to, don't overdense because you still have a lot of responsibilities to take care of. Accommodations. Something that, if you live in Windhoek, you know that it's a serious pain in the behind. Like, 3K, that's not even enough for a room. Like, you really need to dig deeper in the pocket. Now, here's the thing. If you look at it, from NASFAF standpoint, the government have been subsidizing anyway. If you look at it from NASFAF, because a lot of students that are funded by NASFAF, that was basically, the government subsidizing them. Until you fail, then you have to subsidize yourself, out of your own pocket, I'm told that NASFAF was really awesome when it was just, a new institution, that those students that started to be funded, that were the first recipients of the NASFAF funding, those guys were having a free ride. At least that's what I'm told. The guys were just chopping money left, right, and center. Until NASFAF became smart, then they decided to bring about all these strategies and greed mitigation strategies they have in place today. Like, if you fail, you pay for yourself. It turns out back then people were just failing and chopping money, and as far as I was only told that yesterday that a lot of people during the early days of NASFAF funding, they were having a free ride. Like, they were just chopping government money. So until NASFAF decided to start putting all these, control measures in place, which are now impacting the new recipients. So before we start saying, why is NASFAF so strict about this and this and this? Ask yourself one question. What made them implement that strategy? It was your uncle, papa, and mama. They were the ones that were taking advantage of the system, which forced the system to put all these, these mitigation strategies, greed mitigation strategies in place, which are now disadvantaging you. So instead of saying, NASFAF is the problem, just turn around and say, uncle, when you were studying, who was paying for you? NASFAF. Right, right, right. Just how much refund money did you chop using the loopholes which were now closed using these strategies? Uncle will be like, back then we were just chopping the money. Aye. Because they didn't have this and this and this, so we would just go there and get drunk, you know, and chill. We're really having a good time. Congratulations, you had a good time. Now I can't. Thanks very much, Uncle. Moving on. We have 8 minutes left to the hour of, left to the hour of 10. Now, if we go back to the branch of economics known as Reaganomics after the American President Ronald Reagan, very greedy, greedy guy. And like everyone who was super greedy, he was filthy rich. Now, Reaganomics explains that a government can only make money in mostly only two ways. One, either tax it from its people or go out there and borrow it. Both systems are inflationary by design. I know, I was very tempted to say inflationary by nature. It's not naturally. We designed it. By we, I mean we human beings. The 32 teeth, two-legged, two-armed, five-fingered idiot. Now, what happens according to Reaganomics, of which, I totally agree with the guy's analysis. Not with his foreign policy. He's still debatable on that one, but, the guy's analysis also, if you want to know, he was an actor and also a comedian. People are never voting comedians in office. I mean, from Ronald Reagan to Zelensky, comedian in office, we just keep screwing up, like left, right, and center. But you know what? We keep becoming filthy rich. Like really rich. Put a pause on Reaganomics and ask yourself one question. People like the Ukrainian president was famous before he got into politics because he's an actor. And by the way, he's a very good belly dancer. Turns out of all types of dances. Yes, anyone could dance. Belly dancing. Jesus. We cake, but we judge knee. And anyway, one thing that is that because he was famous, you can bet 50 to 60% of his voters, if not 90 to 100% of his voters, voted for him, not because he was an excellent politician, not because of his manifesto or foreign policy. Chances are very high they voted for him because he was famous. You see, when you mix entertainment with politics, well, they voted for someone who is famous and now the country is in flames. Voting is not a lot of work. It's just the cross that you are putting on a piece of paper. But believe me, the result that comes out of that is an idiot with a lot of different foreign policies. Ask Americans. They thought Donald Trump, it's very easy, you know, just put a cross there and, you know, hope he's going to restore the American economy. And then bro woke up one day, just decided to start writing from day one in office, bro, assigning one executive office after, you know, one executive order after another. When he ran out of executive order ideas, it was like, okay, what's more, okay, what, how can, okay, what other way can one screw the global economy? I have a brilliant idea. Tariffs, everyone, tariffs. Right, here they come. Is it? I don't care how famous or rich someone is. That does not mean they are going to have the best public interest oriented foreign policy, foreign or domestic policy. Because, how to put this? I think Zelensky, was he a millionaire or billionaire before he took office? Donald Trump is a billionaire. How the heck do you think he came, he became a billionaire? You think he became a billionaire by putting public interest first? No. People who put public interest first don't become billionaires. People who put personal interest first, those are the ones that become billionaires. Unfortunately, that's how the world works. You don't have to like it. That's just the sad reality of how the world works. You're welcome. Now, anyone that have, gone through the works of Marcus Aurelius understands why that is unfortunately the case. He was a great guy though. Now, getting back to Reaganomics on this whole free tertiary things, you do realize that, the money that these institutions were making through registrations and tuition fees. And what that money was being spent on, whether it's operation or, you know, whether it's operation or, or any type of expenses, that money is not going to flow from students anymore. But whatever that money was being spent on, we'll still need spending. We'll still need money. So, take for example, if UNAM was making, $2 million a year from registrations only, and that registration was used to, to carry out some agricultural or engineering projects, or to buy a few equipments here and there. Those equipments are not going to be given to UNAM for free. They will still have to buy them from companies that make or procure those equipments. That means the money to pay for those equipments will have to come from somewhere. I know it's easy to say, well, it's going to come from the government. Yeah, I know. It's going to come from the government. Are you familiar with something known as a procurement process? We've all been through, the whole Oshakati Do, how long it took, over 6 months to fix. Assuming it's even fixed. Fasten your seatbelt for that. So, as parents, I know, well, the part of the burden have been lifted. That's the part of tuition fees. But accommodations, this is now where it becomes, especially in Windhoek. This is what I'm seeing happening next year. From the academic oriented one, like, for example, a lot of students will flood in a lot of urban areas where where these institutions have centers. What's going to happen is you are going to have a lot of students, like, if not double the amount, looking for accommodation. Now, the accommodation is not very, the accommodations in most, urban areas like Windhoek, for example, is very limited. Because of that, the limited basically means there is a short supply. Where there is a short supply, it creates an influx in demand when a lot of people shows up trying to buy the same thing. And when a lot of people are shows up trying to buy the same thing, what that happens is it creates demand, and demand comes with an increase in price. So we should really fasten our seatbelt for the increase in rent prices. So parents, I wouldn't actually dance if I were you when you look at it that way. On the bright side, tuition fee. This administration is saying, don't worry, we'll take care of that. But you have to take care of accommodation. Now, that means for us to solve that problem, we need to go on a construction spree, like across the country before 2026. Because if you go on a construction spree, you are going to have a lot of housing. And those housing will alleviate the, the rent, or basically housing demand, which again, is one thing we have noticed is that, we're not very good at solving this whole housing problem. Kaimithe. It's a good thing I learned to pronounce that name. Let's take a quick break, but, that's basically how I'm looking at more like, the pro side, everything, like the president said, everything is going to have its advantages and disadvantages. The advantages of the subsidization of high institution, or basically, especially the public ones, is that, a lot of people, including those ones that don't have the money to go to high institutions, will be able to go. At least that's, it's very easy to picture it that way. Until you realize that, unless the housing problem or accommodation problem is solved is obviously going to lead to an influx in the number of students that are enrolling for institutions, leading to the, leading to a demand in a housing and accommodation problem, high demand of accommodation in most urban areas across the country. That high demand is going to drive the price up. The only way to solve that is to build more houses. Now we have to build those houses until next year. We have up until next year to build more houses so that we don't run into that problem. If you ask me, we are running into that problem. And well, just wanted to point out that. And I know free things, we have to, you know, we want free things, but well, there is no such thing as free things. If you look at countries, you know, if you look at countries, those that have, a free housing, free university, like, well, Germany has a free tertiary institution, place like Luxembourg have, or Liechtenstein, those countries that are the size of Kommersdal, they have free transport and stuff. And, you know, at this point, everyone, begins to ask themselves one question. How do these guys have free transport? How do these guys, have you seen their income taxes? Like, they are through the roof. When you look at their income taxes or corporate taxes, you begin to see why they have free transport. Because, well, the government basically just did the math and found out how much approximately how much each person who is commuting is spending on transport. Then they took that amount and then, factored it in taxes. They were like, okay, how about we tax you this high so you don't have to worry about your kids going to, about your kids paying tuition fees and you commuting to and from work because, well, we'll just, tax that money from you and pay it to institutions that are offering you that transport or, transport or, or learning services. Translation, it's not free. It's paid for. In one way or another. Whether a government borrows money or taxes it from its people, it's not free. And by the way, borrowing eventually becomes tax. Let me explain. When you borrow money, it's basically a loan. So to pay it back, you have to pay it back with interest. Now, if you are paying it back with interest, where's that money coming from? Taxpayers, you see? All roads lead to taxes. I'm so glad I made friends with, with human friends is a little bit of an overstretch. I'm so glad I made colleagues with people like Dwight and Kanyeko Kame Kulum Kwanyoka. Because these are the guys that when you start saying things like, transport in this country is free, they're on the ground rolling. Yeah, laughing. Ha, look at this idiot. Nothing is free. And then you're like, oh, come on. I read it in this article. It's free. And then they sit you down and then they explain it to you that, actually the reason why I'm saying it's not free is because, well, I did economics at school. You didn't. And two, now because I did that, this whole economics thing, let me explain to you how this whole free thing is a misnomer. Whether a government borrows money or it taxes its people to pay for that quote-unquote free service, it's actually not free. Technically, it's not. But we just like the free, we just like the feel of doing something and thinking it's free. Maybe the key word there is free. I mean, it's like the guy that invented fast food. That guy is a genius. Fast food makes you fat. Bro was like, well, you can't call it fat food. Well, people will stop consuming it. So how about you just, add an S somewhere between A and T. And then it becomes fast food and everyone's like, well, fast food. Actually, it's fat food. No, you can't say that. Yeah, body shaming. Just laugh. If you don't have a sense of humor, that's on you. Now that we are out, now that I've managed to ramble over this whole education thing, Let's take a quick break on the other side and I can come to my own sector, that is the creative one. Because while we were also made, you know, made a few promises and have a few congratulations and a few cooking to do here and there, do stay tuned here on Mind the Gap, ESO Fun Mind the Gap, Fun Eagle FM, Fun, Nyehen Derta, that's 9:30, right? Nyehen Derta Ir to, Alf Ir, Fun Dimore. That's, you know, in the morning.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 8 minutes past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed, ESO Fun Eagle FM, this more, and on Prat, the topic is the what state in Africa? State of the nation, address in Afrikaans is Erf, right? Right. State of the nation Erf. And, Onsal cake vandaag, the creative industry, topic that was, prated by the Excellency President. We are too few to be poor. Moving on. Now, on the creative industry, the speech says the following. The creative industry has been elevated as a sector of national strategic priority, so as to harness the creativity and innovation. Thank you very much, madam. It doesn't say that in this way, but anyway, innovation of our youth in a holistic and integrated manner. And to leverage the fourth industrial revolution. That's Klaus Schwab's, you know, language, you know, World Economic Forum, fourth industrial revolution. Anyway, guy, he's the one that coined the term fourth industrial revolution. And well, he's an engineer by profession, so it's not surprising. Now, that's the guy that said, was that back in 2015, that you'll all, it was 2015 or 2019, you'll all own nothing and be happy. Man, people were not happy. I mean, which I, look, as someone that, I have something. In comparison to Klaus Schwab, I have nothing. Now, homeboy said, you will have nothing and you'll be happy. And people were like, you know, that coming from a bunch of rich guys, you guys have no idea what it feels like to have nothing. How can you sit there with a bunch of your billions of dollars and tell people that have nothing that, you know what, the agenda that we have on the table, you guys will have nothing and you will be happy. And everyone who has nothing was like, you know what, if that was true, I'll be the happiest man on the planet right now. And because right now I have nothing, and believe me, I am not happy. Now, you have all the money and your behind is happy. And you are telling me that I will have nothing and I will be happy in the future. But now I have nothing and I'm miserable. You care to explain? So people didn't like it. He had to come back and apologize. I love people, especially on the internet. Oh no, they don't care who you are. But anyway. That's the guy that coined the term fourth industrial revolution. Klaus Schwab. That's a nice name. Schwab. It sounds, why does that sound, why does that sound make, you know, sound familiar? Schwab. Oh yeah. You know, when you are wearing those, plastic rubber boots and you pour water in and start walking, you know, slowly, you know, like one step at a time, you know, It makes that sound. Let's face it. Shwab, shwab, shwab. You know, shwab, shwab. Okay, he's rich. Before he comes here, you know, with his army and take over our country, which we want to build with free university. Let me stop right there. Now, an amount of 50 million Namibian dollars to... An amount of 50 million Namibian dollars towards the hosting of the 2025 National Arts and Creative Industry Awards has been allotted. No kidding. Let's go with allocated because we don't want to go the verbosity way. Furthermore, I need glasses on this one. Furthermore, the Arts Fund Act of 2005 will be reviewed. The Arts Fund Act, that's the one with, you know, Article 19 that, you know, curtails, basically pulls the rug at the bottom and then everything goes to... Have you played, you know, giant Jenga? Or just Jenga in general? If you miss one part, if your hands are naturally as shaky as mine, you can't play that game. So, the fund will be capitalized and operationalized during the METF. Look, I have one question. This is the Industry Infrastructure and Equipment Fund. This Creative Industry Infrastructure and Equipment Fund. I have one question. Look, I'm looking at that money. Not a question. Basically, a statement that you should look forward to. You know, there's this thing called greed. A lot of those of us that are not in parliament, we like it to make it more often. We like to make it sound like it's only, you know, it's only people that are in parliament that are greedy. Actually, unfortunately, no. Even the men that are in the studio at Eagle FM from 9:30 to 11, or people that are watching, also have to throw you guys under the bus. You know, governor, councillor, lawyer, nurse, doctor, heck, priests can be greedy. So, I like the fact that, you know, we are too few to be poor. So administration is also, you know, likes to put emphasis on how they will not tolerate corruption in this administration. Because, this $50 million, if it's not going to be chopped at the top, it's going to be chopped at the bottom. One way or another, if it's not watched carefully, someone is already licking their finger in the entertainment industry right now going, hello, payday, time to chop some money. Someone is already going online, someone is walking past back and forth, back and forth from one car dealership to another. You know, when I get the MC tender to, you know, at this National Arts and the Creative Industry Awards 2025, what car am I buying? So, first of all, it's a brilliant idea. Second of all, madam, make sure this money is not chopped to either at the top or at the bottom. But look, as a comedian, I look forward to these things. If the money is chopped come next year, you know, we have a lot of scandal left, right, and center. If your name comes out in the newspaper, I'll be here on Eagle FM having a good time. Ask the Fish Road guys. They will never hear the end of it. Now, if you want to hear the end of it, when you chop money, don't leave me out of it. If you leave me out of it, I'll come here and... look, it's either you give me money so I don't cook you, or... I'll just come here and cook you and make money. Either way, I'm getting paid. That's one thing I like about my job. It's either when you are stealing, you count me in, and then I don't talk about you because, well, you already paid me. Or, if you steal and don't count me in, it will be in the newspaper and I'll be here cooking you and make the money. Whether you like it or not, I'm getting paid. My job is the best. Nothing beats my job, believe me. The only thing it needs is S&T. Not firing, you know. Not sending any direct message to someone there by the Ondonga Traditional Authority. But anyway. The Ministry of Information and Communication Technology is directed to spearhead digitization, working together with the Ministry of Arts, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Sport, Arts and Culture. Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture. Jesus, that's a mouthful. The private sector and academia. That's a bunch of those rah-rah-rah guys. The ministry should also develop a database of IT experts for use as appropriate. Now, the reason why that part, the reason why that part of the speech caught my attention is that we need a database of IT experts because these are the guys that are scamming the heck out of us. They have the expertise. They know their way around a computer. That's the problem. If they are not regulated, they start, you know, doing that. They start telling people, download any desk and, go in Play Store or, or App Store, download any desk and, send me this number, get your banking details. I need this number and this number. So far I can send you, so far you're doing great. You just won $50 million from Coca-Cola. And what's going to happen? All I need is just your account number and your PIN. Why do you need my PIN? Oh, well, but the thing is, a lot of people fall for these things. Now, we need a database for IT experts. So these guys don't keep scamming our, ministers of defense. But on that one, look. Every time that I sing our national anthem, especially the part of Namibia, our country, land of the brave, blah blah blah. I didn't know why we are called land of the brave until I came across that story of that guy that scammed $200,000 from a minister of defense. That's when I was like. So hang on a second. This guy woke up one morning and decided out of over 2 million people in this country. I mean, we have CEOs, we have bankers, we have Minister of Education, Minister of Health, Minister of this and a lot of ministries. Of all the people he could have chosen to scam, he picked the guy in charge of a bunch of guys with guns. That's when I was like, well, we are not called the land of the brave for nothing, because clearly we are brave. Of all the people you are planning on scamming. Now, picture the hassle homeboy had to go through to find the personal number of Franz Kapofi. And the courage of dialing the number. The phone is ringing and bro is just there like, you know what? I'm gonna scam the minister of defense. The minister that's in charge of the guys that have guns. Those sticks that have like a little, piece of hardware called a trigger. When they pull it, fire comes out on the other side and the poor guy on the wrong end dies. That guy. That's when I was like, now I get why they call us land of the brave. Because we really are brave. And also, take the, how we taught, every time I hear South Africans start saying, can someone check out Namibia? Hey, Namibians are introverts. If it wasn't for us, they would not have, they would not have known that, their president disguised a personal private bank under the guise of a farm. It was us that told them, South Africans, Mick, we'll show you something. The fact that it looks like a farm does not mean it's a farm. Believe us, it's a bank. And every South African was like, ha ha ha, no, it's a farm. Oh, look, it's a farm. And, the beauty of it is that we didn't have to use our police. We didn't have to use our defense. We didn't have to use our intelligence. We just used common civilians like Hoya. Show them. Emanuela went there. Broke in and out without triggering an alarm, went out with millions. Those were just civilians. Not the army, not the police, not the reserve, not the intelligence, just civilians. Just in and out with millions. That's us. Like, look, we may be introverts, but when it comes to getting in and out of presidential sofas and getting out with millions of dollars, we're very good at that. And we proved it. And we are very good at calculating that, you know what? Okay, how do I put this? We are the one to first, lay out the, you know, the best way to steal something. The best way to steal something is steal something that was stolen. Then the person you stole it from, because they also stole it, they are not going to call the police. They are just going to get, you know, the intelligence. You do realize that, the beautiful part I find about the whole, you know, Palapala Bank, asset forfeiture department, or asset forfeiture operation was that, Namibians used civilians to carry out the operation. South Africa used intelligence to carry out their operation to come to Namibia to get those civilians. The Arthur Fraser guy, the head of the South African intelligence. Oh, is he retired or is he still the head? He's the one that, he's the one that was, him and his buddy. He's the one that was sent here to come and look for civilians. That's when we looked at South Africa and told them, look guys, you may have the biggest country by landmass. You may have the biggest population. I mean, our entire population, nationally, even right now, we can fit in Joburg. Last time I checked, Joburg's population was about 5 million, and that was about 2 years ago. We are not even 4 million. Heck, we just got to 3 million, you know, last year. Factor in a couple of guys that in between last year and this year that those that have not used condoms, you are looking at, give or take a couple of hundred people. But one thing you see is that Namibians, we don't give ourselves enough credit. If you want to give us enough credit, look at the Palapala Farm. Well, it was called Palapala Farm until Namibian civilians proved that it's actually a Palapala Bank disguised as a farm. Completely with bank tellers. And also the Namibian civilians that were involved in that operation. You wanna know what one of them is? A cleaner. Not a CEO. Not a comedian. Just truly. Not an engineer. Now, imagine if we can pull off an operation like that with a cleaner. Imagine what we can do with an accountant. Imagine what we can do with a lawyer. Imagine what we can do with an engineer. Imagine what we can do with a combination of them. I'm telling you, South Africa is lucky that we are just, introverts. So every time you run into a South African that's telling you that, you know what, Namibians, I've never heard of any Namibian, tell them that, have you ever heard of Emmanuel Adebit, the guy that proved to you guys, despite your bigger economy and large police budget, that your president's farm was actually a private bank. If you have never heard of that, which part of South Africa do you live? I think I know the problem with South Africa. Too much amapiano is distracting you guys. Which is a good thing for us, because, well. And also, these people. South Africa manufactures weapons. We don't. But we sell weapons to South Africa. Although those weapons now, on the other hand, I have to explain this part. Those weapons keeps missing either from our military or police armory. And the, well, last year, some of the guns that were missing from the police and the, I think that was the police armory or the military. I'm not sure which one is which. They were found being used, on the black market by a bunch of gangs in South Africa and Angola. Guys, well, I know it's diabolical, but look at it this way. We're very good at business because we have figured out a way to export something we don't produce. Guns. We don't even make bullets. Or do we? I don't think so. We export something we don't produce. That's how good we are. Land of the brave. We really are brave. Every time you run into a South African that's telling you, I've never heard of Namibia, just, just write the name Emanuela David. Send them to that name. When they start asking, what do you mean? Tell them, Google it. You'll understand. Chances are very high they will come back to you with, Palapala farm, because they call it Palapala farm robbery, but, here in the land of the brave, we call it Palapala bank. Not robbery is such a terrible word. First of all, hiding something in a sofa is something you expect from a bunch of kids, not a fully grown man, let alone a president. Like, really? Did you run out of places to hide? I don't know, just at the top of my head. This is just the top of my head. I think I would have gone with a safe. But that's just me. But, well, it turns out bro was like, I have a brilliant idea. Ceilings. You think we should get a safe? No, there's another idea I'm forgetting, but I can't put my finger on it. It's running around in my head. Sofas. Yeah, absolutely. Let's say, put it in there. But there's also one thing that people forget about that. You do realize that there is no company that produces sofas. No company that produces sofas uses money as cushions. That means those sofas were customly made. On the bright side, there's a guy that got a tender to sue sofas that had money in. My question is, how much were they paid for them to shut up? I mean, I don't mean to tell you this, but I recently got a private contract from your president, and that contract involved me suing sofas, making sure that they are as secure as possible. But guess what they were stuffed in on behalf of cushions? Instead of cushions. Behalf of soundless, makes it sound like people. Instead of cushions. Well, US dollars in millions. We need a break. I can't wrap my mind around why a president would hide money in sofas. But anyway, we cake, but we knee judge knee. Man, I'm so proud of my Afrikaans. But if you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 11. That is in that's in 30 minutes. 38 minutes and counting. So, if you want to call in, the line is 083-288-401. I decided to go through the president's State of the Nation address. Even though, towards the end, I want to shift to something different. That's on my poster for those of you that saw it. That's what I initially intended to come here and talk about. And then, the creative sector was brought up in the State of the Nation address. It was like, okay, change your plans. But before that, quick break.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Muvere kisema app atoloka sinchavu kamso. Zakale riferire. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba rifera zarivuka kuya kwa rifasi la rifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mui kutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mui kole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamu vone, imba encha, niye encha farizwe, ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha, ni kuhasa nyali nzira mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hama sfera sesfa ep ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Afrikaans, nizengwi zengata. Mololi zeze kacheno, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si eke zwefa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kacheno, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back. It's 28 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 11. That's in 28 minutes. So moving on, let's look at what I went through. You know, let's look at my poster now, shall we? Okay, before we get to our poster. You can subscribe to the e-villager, which you can get in your WhatsApp inbox every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can subscribe to the e-villager, and the subscription number is 081-200-4144. All you have to do is send the word subscribe to 081-200-4144. And please do save the number so you are not a stranger. So, what is the e-villager? Well, it's a e-paper. Is an electronic copy of a electronic newspaper. It's an electronic newspaper produced by yours truly, Eagle, you know, Team Eagle FM. And on that you find a lot, you know, you find something that I'm sure you went through with Michael, but if you missed it, let me just say, you know, give you a run through. Nandi Ndaitwa prioritizes the youth empowerment in the SONA, the State of the Nation Address, the speech we just went through, prioritizes the youth, and, you know, a lot of, you know, pensioners out there. You guys were told, you know, at least this year we're just focusing on the youth because, well, the majority, they may be lazy to vote, but if we learned one thing for, you know, and the last year's election is that they are taking a key interest in this whole voting thing. So, prioritizing them is not a very, is not the worst political move. You're welcome. So you guys are going to have to, you know, just, you know, give us more time, you know, let's prioritize the youth. And also if you look at the, you know, the labor force statistics coming out of the NSA, I just released last year in October, it's not drawing a very good picture for the youth. And the last thing any leader wants is a large number of angry youth. For one, most of them are going to be angry and high or drunk, or, you know, they're just high on testosterone if they're still teens. So that's not a good idea. You don't want, you know, don't want the kids that, you know, with hormones flying left, right and center in your country, because it can be very difficult to control. Now, Rhino Resource finds light oil at Capricornus 1X well. That's Latin, you know. That's Latin for Capricornus. My dirty mind will get me fired today. US dollar reserve global dominance shrink. Look, if Donald Trump's plan is to, you know, is to derail the American economy so that, you know, a bunch of rich guys can all move to the UK, to China, if this is an empire putting on, changing location or relocating, because, empires have been relocating left, right, and center. Now, here's the thing. If you look at the list of global household names, you will see that these guys have been rich for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, ask yourself one question. In the same time period that these families have been rich, empires have been changing hands from one country to another. So that means, when the empire was under Spain, you know, when the Portuguese were the biggest empire, these guys had Spanish citizenship. Had Portuguese citizenship. When the empire was under Roman control, these guys had Roman citizenship. When the empire was under you know, the medicine, the patient control. These guys had the medicine, patient, citizenship. When the empire was under Greek control, these guys had the Greek citizenship. When the empire was under Egyptian, you get the gist. And when the empire was under the British, these guys had British citizenship. When the empire is now in America, these guys have American citizenship. The point I'm trying to make here is Joseph Kawandenge, and you know, I don't blame Joseph Kawandenge for exercising Muharukwa's law of political shifting cultivation. That's how things work. Move to where there is greener pasture. And this whole thing of I was born in this party and I will die in this party. We have rebranded that statement here on Mind the Gap to mean I was born poor and I will die poor. If you see greener pasture, run. If you don't run, that's on you. And by the way, you didn't get that advice from me. You know, you must be a dedicated political, you know, advocate even when you are broke. No sense. Anyway, one thing that you see is a lot of household names, a lot of global household names are from families that goes back literally over 100 years, like over 200, 300, 500 years. In this whole time, empires have been shifting from one country to another, but these guys have been rich. The point is, every time, when China is dominating right now, these guys, believe me, a bunch of rich guys, a bunch of rich household names, just they will slowly start migrating straight up to China, and then all of a sudden, China is a thriving empire, and then you know you don't be surprised if you see, China turning around to colonize America, and then the you know a bunch of guys that are at the forefront of this whole colonial enterprise are themselves maybe born and raised in America. Because if you look at it, a bunch of guys that are at the forefront of the chaos that's in Palestine are from Eastern Europe. They are not from, a lot of them have Eastern European names. They are from Eastern Europe. You know, but there's an excuse of, you know, 3,000 years ago, the big guy upstairs gave us this land, therefore we are here to claim it, you know. Yada, yada, yada. Be flexible. Believe me. Be flexible. How do I put this? Natural resources nationalization. Natural resources nationalization is something that I came across a few weeks ago. It turns out this is something that that BlackRock, one of if not the biggest asset management firm on the planet, they have been is something that have been worrying them since 2011. Now, what does natural resource or basically resource nationalization means? This is something that is very, 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 very dangerous. Let me explain. Now, for those of you that have seen my poster, then you know where the humor in this whole thing is. Natural resources nationalization is when some of the presidents that are very dangerous, come up with this very stupid and very dangerous idea of using their country's natural resources to benefit their people. Therefore, taking those benefits from multinational conglomerates and then using that resource to benefit their people. That's a threat to multinational conglomerates. And it's very dangerous for democracy. That's not my language. I will let you guess. But the point is, it turns out natural resources nationalization is something that makes the people of these particular nations happy, but not the multinational corporations that that have basically grown rich from exploiting those resources. It turns out this is something that is worrying a lot of multinational guys, including, because, one article that I read about, I think that was Forbes or The Guardians, that was by BlackRock. That, you know what? It's literally called a threat. I'm like, wait, what? Take, for example, a president comes to power and they decide, you know what? Oh, by the way, Namibia is in there, you know. It's nice. But anyway, the thing is, it turns out, when a president comes to power and nationalizes natural resources so that those resources proceeds can benefit their people, multinational corporations don't like that. Look, they've been showing that they don't like that ever since. Well, for everyone that reads history, and I can't believe I'm going through, because the easiest example we can use when it comes to that is 1953 overthrow of Iranian democratically elected president. All he said was, all Mohammed Mossadegh did was say, you know what, when he came into office, actually when he ran for office, his campaign was dominated by one language. Anglo-Iranian oil, what they are doing, the whole contract is lopsided to benefit the Anglo part of the deal, not the Iran part of the deal. Anglo has been obviously renamed to England, and Iranian, that is still Iran, but the Anglo-Iranian as a company is now renamed to a whole new name now, today known as British Petroleum. I know. Look, when I told you that they keep changing names depending on where the empire is going, that's not a joke. Okay, it's still a joke. But the point is, it's a genius model. It's a genius model. So, when you look at that, you begin to realize, what happened to Mohammed Mossadegh? Well, you can bet a bunch of guys who had a lot of interest to lose from Mossadegh's nationalization of his country's oil, because all he wanted was his oil to benefit his people. The anger that generated still have Iran under sanction today. From 1953 to today, the U.S. is threatening to invade Iran on the false pretense of Iran is building a nuclear arsenal. That, by the way, is coming from a bunch of guys with a nuclear arsenal. In other words, you can have it. I can have it, but not you. We don't want, and I like the language used in terms, you know, in this whole nuclear proliferation nonsense. That, we don't want this type of technology in the wrong hands. Quick question, who is defining what wrong hands are? Well, we don't want Iranians to have nuclear weapons, because those guys are, well, those falls under the definition of wrong hands. All right, now, I'm going to humor you on that one. Let's write down a list of countries that have been, in the past 20 years, that have been invaded by Iran. And then we write down a list of countries that have been invaded by the U.S. And then, based on that, the one who has the longer list is the one that, and by the way, let's also write down a list of countries that have used nuclear weapons on civilians. Iran have never done that. As for the U.S., on the other hand, you're going to have to ask the Japanese, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They have a complete... And by the way, those former residents of the Bikini Atoll Islands have a different perspective on that subject.
Enroll today in the Certificate in English and Communication NQA Level 4 at Welwitschia University. Master the art of communication, speak, write, and succeed. To be admitted into this program, prospective students must meet the following requirements. Have completed grade 11 NSSCO or grade 12 NSSCAS with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with less than a D symbol in English. Or have completed grade 12 NSSCO, NSSCH, IGSCE or HIGCSE with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with less than an E symbol in English. The closing date for applications is 25 April 2025. For more information, please email admission@wu.edu.na. That's admission@wu.edu.na. Welwitschia University, where everyone is an achiever.
AM Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always pay.
Now, where were we? National resources, were on this whole nationalization. Whew, the Kavango in me is standing, the Mbukushu in me is standing in between me and English. Like, you know what? You are, well, not English, but anyway. Moving on. Now, the reason why I love history is because every time I read a newspaper article on a certain subject, it take, you know, the question I ask myself is, where did this start? Because it definitely didn't start today. If you find a couple break up, or more like they are involved in a fight, just ask yourself one question. For how long have these people been together? Basically, chances are very high what they are fighting over, it's not something that started that moment. It's something that has been going on for a while, especially when it comes to my gender. We're not very good at talking. Talking is not our strong suit. We just bottle everything in because, well, men don't cry and all that other, you know, social and cultural crap. You can't say the world come to mind the gap. And in 13 minutes, I'm going to say goodbye. So the more violent now I become. So, this whole natural resources nationalization, the reason why it's the biggest problem, it's because you have to understand, again, the same, the principle of how empires operate. And I've been through this before. I've talked about it, not survived through it. Thank heavens. That empires are because, you know, empires are all for one thing. Empires' goals are about one thing, control. That's it. Now, interference into the sovereignty of other countries that you see, you know, that have become, America's nickname is not just something that's unique with America. This is how empires operate. It doesn't matter what country takes over the, the status of an empire. Empires are all about interference in other countries. And the interference is very important if you want to be an empire, especially for over 100 years. And the reason behind that, it's simple. If you want to be the big guy on the block, you want to make sure that you suppress everyone's growth before they reach a level where they can compete with you. Militarily, economically, you have to do that. If you don't do that, you are not going to be an empire, at least not for as long as you would like to be. So, I don't care whether the excuse being used is human rights for the, for the disabled, human rights for women, human rights for LGBTQ, human rights for black people, human rights for white people, for Chinese. It doesn't matter what facade the whole control agenda is being disguised under. The main goal of all empires all throughout history, going back to the Egyptians, the Medivians, go back to the ancient Sumerians. It's all about control. Just find a camouflage to put it under. That's how you control. You can't go around and tell people that, here's what we're going to do. Using my embassy here, I'll be influencing your elections and making sure that I have people in the executive office that are in line with my interests. If you do that, you have civil war on your hands. So you have to find the biggest excuse. Well, the biggest excuse was democracy using intelligence and military intervention up until 1953s. Because if you look in the 1950s, with the subsequent overthrow of a bunch of presidents basically across the planet. One thing you see is that, from the 1960s, 1950s to the 60s, intelligence communities like the CIA, their reputation was not a very good one. So they decided to rebrand that. Instead of sending in intelligent guys, like they did, take for example, in the 1980s in Ghana, they decided to come up with a whole new model of overthrowing leaders. Use NGOs. Now, that NGO model is also gaining a very terrible, you know, a very terrible reputation. You can bet, as we speak, these guys are rebranding. Look, I admire these guys' operations because, this is something that the president said yesterday in her State of the Nation address about cybersecurity. That you have to understand that thieves, she was quoting Obama. That thieves are always ahead of, you know, are always ahead of governments. And intelligence communities are basically a bunch of government-sanctioned thieves. That's what they do. They, you know, where you cannot send your military or and your police, you send the intelligence because they're literally above the law. You know, if you want someone to go and do anything that is against the any laws under the sun, national and international, including UN Charter, you name it, send in the intelligence guys. Take the blowing up of the Nord Stream pipeline, for example. You don't send in the military, no. You send in the intelligent guys. And also, intelligence is a misnomer. Again, government-sanctioned thieves. That's another way, but that's an easy way of putting it. And every empire have had one of those. The Ottomans have had the, okay, it was the, during the Ottoman Empire when the, who is these guys, assassins, where we literally get the word, you know, the English word assassin, they call them, you know, that can be traced to the Arabic word hashishi, something like, habli. It's also have that history that traced back to the Ottomans. But anyway, the Ottomans had assassins. Assassins were those assassins or janissaries? Because I think their original name is janissaries. What they did was they kidnapped, okay, every land they conquered, they killed pretty much every man, and women, the good-looking one, they kidnapped and, well, procreated with them. You can, you know, do the math on that one as to whether that was a consensual or not. Nothing about it was consensual. And, what happened was that they took the young people, young boys, they took them and then at a certain age castrated them and trained them into killing machines. That's where you got the word assassin. And they were assassins because when they were given a task to go and assassinate someone, they were willing to die carrying out that task. In other words, they were trained killers. And well, guess what? Contractors. All you just have to do is have enough money and they will provide you with the best killers that you want so they can kill your, well, your poor political opponent that you want to, you know, you want to put 2 meters underground. I'm told that's the Western standard for the depth of a graveyard. You know, the depth of a grave hole. Grave hole? Let's go with pit because, you know, grave hole, that's, you know, my mind is a little too dirty for the word hole. Okay, quick break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
The Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. There's one article that was written by an American-based think tank on natural resources nationalization that I have it in my phone, but it's the one that I'm using to live stream, so I can't use it to do that. We're just going to have to take one from BlackRock, but those guys articulate it in a very, very simple way because they have one article about Namibia. Okay, now I'm just hating this. Let's stick with BlackRock, since I can't find my original article. I'm just gonna bring it up now. The first thing you have there is their CEO Larry Fink, and then equity income, blah blah blah. Yeah, forget that. What's that? He's yeah, here you go. And I only have 3 minutes. And yeah, this is the article, not The Guardian, Reuters. BlackRock sees resources nationalism as a threat to mine investing. In other words, a president or any leader nationalizing their natural resources is a threat to the mining investors. This is coming from 2011. Now, 2011, I had a lot of hormones running up and down, so I didn't have time to read through this thing because I was just trying to survive high school. BlackRock sees if you don't know who BlackRock is, you are on the wrong part of the internet. Long story short, they have they are the asset management that have shares in pretty much every multinational company that you are going to list down. Just pick a multinational company, go through Google, type for example, Nestle shareholders, Coca-Cola shareholders, Microsoft shareholders. Then go through the shareholders. It's not illegal. It's not illegal information. It's public information that you can read on your own. It's not conspiracy information. It's just, again, public information that you can read on your own. It's made public so you can, read it. If you have not read it, means, you have, just at least for 10 minutes a day, give social media a break. Now, this article is coming from 2011 where BlackRock Inc., the world's largest money manager, warned so-called resources nationalism, this from Reuters, was on the rise, threatening to undermine investment on sectors where governments were playing too heavy a hand. They just want to gain ownership over their resources. They are not playing too heavy a hand. But it turns out, a leader saying, I want my resources to benefit my people, is threatening mining investors. Aha. Let's take a break now, shall we?
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepared.
Alright, welcome back. That was CSIS is the name of the think tank, because I just want to run through the is the name CSIS S. Yeah. That's the name of the American think tank that wrote one of my very comprehensible article on this. Western hegemony. Yeah. Whew, thank heavens. That took me a little bit of a hassle. I have, well, multiple. Okay, now we just scroll all the way to West Namibia. New requirement, new opportunity. Jeez, man. I hate it when I'm misplacing my sources. Because I do most of my research with my phone because it's very easy to handle, and now I'm using my phone to live stream. According to that, I have the right one. Malaysia has made intentional headlines by advancing policy, believe it or not. Look, I'm reading this, not making this up. Now this is a resource nationalism is not the United States' biggest mineral problem. CSIS is a Center for Strategic and International Studies. It's an American-based think tank. I don't know why they call these guys think tank, but anyway. Malaysia has made international headlines by advancing policy that would restrict the export of unprocessed rare earth elements. Why does that sound familiar? Because that speaks to value addition. Well, guess what? That's what Namibia is trying to do. International investors don't like nonsense like that. Just put that in mind. This news is only the latest data. Is the latest data point in strengthening global trend. Indonesia, Ghana, Zimbabwe, and Namibia have advanced similar raw material export bans in recent years. Policy makers need to consider how to position the United States in relations to this, to this pattern. Now, those countries that were listed there, and this pattern is coming out of 2023. This one is actually the latest, which is why I, bend over backwards to basically look for it. One thing that was noticed from as early as 2023 was that a lot of countries like Ghana, Namibia, and Malaysia, and Zimbabwe, Indonesia, they were seen as, their policymakers were seen to, were observed to be, working on, making headways and working on laws that restrict raw material exports. In other words, a lot of these, all these countries that were listed here were seen to make, to make advancements into making policies that will make it, difficult for the resources that these countries have to be exported in raw form, than processed, therefore leading to value addition and creating employment internally. And this think tank now, I like how they, their advice, basically, they really are a think tank because they advise to their government, or more like, instead of looking at that as a threat like BlackRock was looking at it, this think tank was, BlackRock. Let's go with the Huanguena way. Like, BlackRock was looking at it as a threat back in 2011, but this think tank was looking at it and saying, you know what, instead of looking at that as a threat, how about you create, diplomatic and economic friendship with these countries, and then you invest in their assembly plants that they want to, to establish in their countries. Help them be investor in the processing or assembly plants or refineries. Invest in those refineries or processing plants instead of looking at it as a threat. If you ask me, that is a real think tank, right there. That's a real think tank. It's just saying, Oga America, easy now. Instead of saying, well, they are threatening your mining investment, how about you just, instead of, of investing in mining only, well, they want to create value addition at home. They want to process stuff at home. How about you just invest in the processing plants? shout out to these guys. I really like the advice. BlackRock was like, eish, Diane is a threat, Diane. And, you know, we like that idea. That's when my Afrikaans now comes in. 6 minutes past the hour of 11, and Mind the Gap ends here, and I'm packing my bags and leaving you in the hands of Sizuma Salicho and wishing you all a good weekend. I'm Siyale Hande. Look at Ovonana Hape Kamande.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferide. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuyakwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwituna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, niye encha farizwe, ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha, nikuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengwi, zefu mani hamasfera sesfa ep ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Afrikaans, nizengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavela kulisfera sa kileke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.